Well, I thank the Lord for that song. It blesses my heart that there are those willing to let the Lord give them a song to sing and then to share it with us. And I thank the Lord for that. Even in the valley, He is good. And that is something we should be assured of in our hearts at all times. Maybe we can bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, thank You for this time that You've given us this morning. God, thank You for how You've blessed our hearts. You've fed us. You've encouraged us. Strengthened us already today. We thank You for the songs that have been sung. And Lord, we just pray You'll bless us now as we open Your Word. Lord, it is Your Word, and it is Your Holy Spirit that knows how to deliver it, God. We are vessels in Your hands, both to be used and to receive. God, help us to be able to receive what You have for us this morning, God, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Even in the valley, God is good. You know, I think about different people in my life who've given me a word of correction, or maybe just instruction, whatever it may be, they tried to teach me something. And I think about how it was to receive of the different ones who've tried to teach me something. I think about particularly there's one of, you know, we have instances all along, but you have these moments where you just remember them, right? So one of those moments that's more recent than others was probably one of the harder ones to take in a lot of ways, but it was really good for me. But my point in sharing it is the person who was giving it to me had invested so much in me in so many ways that I was ready to listen. I was ready to hear the whole thing, of everything that he might say to me. I was ready to listen to it. And I think about others who have not invested much in my life, but have a desire to teach me a lot of things. And mostly, most conversations, maybe they're trying to instruct me. You know, I still think before God, I try in those moments to listen, because who knows what the Lord might say to me. I don't have to shut things down because you haven't met a certain quota or something in my life of investment. I can listen and God can give me good things, but it's a little harder. It's a little harder to have the vehement desire, the longing to hear what they're having to say to me. Well, the Lord's given us something this morning, and I think the Lord's invested a lot in all of us. Those of us who love Him, who serve Him, and you know, if there are those here today that have not taken hold of that, the Lord still invested so much in our life. And you know what? The whole world, He has invested more than anyone here. So you know what? I can listen. I want to listen. And so that's a little bit of what the Lord has brought to us here today. I want us to turn. Now, you're going to have a choice right now. I'm going to give you two verses. You can turn to either one, okay? But I either want you to turn to Mark 4 and 23, or I want you to turn to Mark 7 and 16. And we'll read, either verse will read exactly the same word for word. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You know, this was, there's times where, you know, we look at something written in one place, we look at it written in another, and it's the same message, but yet it's not word for word necessarily. And so I did this on purpose this morning. This is not the only place you will find Jesus saying something to this effect. But evidently Mark had a strong message here. He felt like he wanted it word for word both times. He wrote down, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Wrote down what Jesus had said. So that's our burden this morning, ears to hear. And I want to ask you a question. of maybe the population in here this morning, because there'll be a few more people maybe hear this message possibly, but here we are, and we're all here today, right? So what's the percentage of us that have ears? Looks like 100% to me. So, 100%. So, the message from Christ was not just, you know, he that has ears, you know, but he that has ears to hear. I think about one of us who's here this morning, who has some struggles with hearing, and that's obviously my mom. And I know I'm not going to go into all the mom's frustrations with that in her life. I've been there for a lot of them, and I've seen her as, you know, as that became an issue in her life and the frustrations it brought to her. But she's sitting here this morning, and God's made a way that she can hear it, that she can see it. She can see the words and know what's being said in this place. You know what Jesus is saying? Say, you all got ears. Mom has ears. What's your motivation? That ears aren't going to just cut it. Just being and listening and being in the presence of God with ears that function isn't going to achieve what needs to be achieved in your life. You're going to have the motivation to think about what's being said to you, to dig deep and to truly hear it, not just to be here with ears. So how can someone have functioning ears and not meet what Jesus is saying here? In other words, how can a person with ears fail to get what the Lord's saying here? In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the first verse. And, you know, we obviously have a very focused part of this reading that we're going to look at. But if we take in the whole reading, and this is this way so much, there's extraneous things that kind of help us with the whole message. And so Paul says here, he says, I charge thee therefore before God. You know, I don't want to say this the wrong way. God cares about your life this morning. He's interested in your life more than we know. I'm not the center of the universe. All right? I'm not the creator. I'm not the originator. You know, and when I come into the Lord's presence, which is daily, as I wait for the day and I walk with him, but especially as I come to a place where we have done this on purpose here at church. We've done this on purpose, haven't we? Did anybody come not knowing what we were here for today? We come because we want to meet together and let God speak to us together. Because God said there's a special blessing in that. That's part of. It's not the whole. Honestly, we could argue it's not even the most important, is it? Because if you come here and you're not walking with the Lord daily, this stuff is going to be a great moment in the week and it's going to fizzle out, this opportunity that you have here. But if you're walking with the Lord daily, then this is something God has given you to boost it. The interactions you have with others that love God through the week is a moment that God has to boost it. The moments you have during the week when the Word is open before you is a moment to boost it. The moments you have whatever they may be, are opportunities for the Lord to boost. But I have to understand that He is God. He is the center of the universe. He is the one to be worshipped. You know, when I don't have that picture, I can walk into a situation before him and think, well, what am I going to do here? I can be really casual with it. But when I understand that the situation I'm walking to He's the center of the universe. Am I fixing to do this the way He wants it done? It totally changes my approach. I was talking with somebody, I don't remember who, about jobs and getting into careers, and I said, "Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of moments where I wanted to just really let them know that it needed to be done a different way, and if they didn't do it a different way, I was going to go somewhere else." And God comes along and says, "Are you really, Brandon? Who put you here? Who put you in this situation? Who put you with these people that you really feel like are just not being anything like what they ought to be right now? Who put you here?" Well, I mean, you did. That's what I say. That's what my heart was. My desire, the best I knew how, was to follow you to the place I'm at. And so, if I've got to answer this question, then I'm going to answer it, you put me here. So, Brandon, are you really going to do that? And I don't want to cast that you don't ever mention things at work or talk about things, but you understand the point of what I'm saying. Brandon, this is not about you. It's about me doing what I need to do in your life. And maybe in the lives of those around you. Maybe they just need to see something different. What's most important to you? So I charge thee before God. And when I have that understanding in my life, then all of a sudden my ears start hearing a little better, right? Because I need to. Because I'm desperate to hear. Because I want to be where He would have me to be and doing what He wants me to do. So I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, and you know what? I wasn't even thinking about this, but it just throws in there, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing? Those who are alive and those who aren't. So we're all going to stand before His judgment seat. We'll read that verse after a while. So not only do I realize He's center of the universe, I also realize, okay, I'm going to be standing before Him one day. I'm not going to be standing before my boss. I'm not going to be standing before my coworkers. I'm not going to be standing before anyone else in this world who I could have an argument with about whether or not they did the right thing. I'm going to be standing before God, and He is going to judge my life.
Yes.
Okay, Lord, I'm a little more ready to listen. I'm a little more ready, not just to have these ears riding on the side of my head and not really doing what they're meant to do, not allowing them to be what they're meant to be in my life. I'm ready to listen, to really hear. And what I'm saying here, we'll go ahead and throw in, is to take it to heart. I'm ready to allow that conduit that starts here and goes here and goes here. I'm ready to open it up and make sure it's open all the way down. Because I want to hear what you have to say to me. I want to have ears to hear. All right? And so it says, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom? And then He tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He was speaking to Timothy specifically as a minister, but we can take the spirit of what is said here and allow it to help us. Preach the word. Well, the purpose in preaching the word is that people would receive the word, right? That's the purpose in it. So we could even say receive the word. Be instant in season and out of season. When it feels good, do what the word says. And when it doesn't feel good, do what the word says.
Yes.
Be instant. Value it. Treasure it. Hold on to it. All right? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Well, he was speaking to him as a minister, and is his function as a minister. But can I not take that in my life and say, allow the word to reprove, rebuke, and exhort me?
Yes.
Correct me, instruct me, and encourage me. Allow it to have all that room in my life. You know, before we ever got to the focus verse, you're already listening if you're doing these things. You're already opening up the conduit for the words to do something in your life. Before we even got to the verse where he tells us about this issue. All right? He says all this. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And as we move into this verse, let's just realize not so much as a prophetic statement, But just as a statement of the way it is with us, there are people that there is a danger as a human that I can allow myself to get into a place where I'm not receiving the word. And it comes as that conduit gets clogged and all. All right? And so the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. All right? So we ever heard the term, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back? What is that term all about? It's not really based in reality, in truth, right? Is it something that's based in truth? You do what's right and I'll do what's right? No. It's like, if you let me get away with something, I'll let you get away with something. You make room for something in my life, I'll make room for something in your life. It is directly opposite of promoting truth. And so this term of the itching ear, the ear that needs to be scratched, that wants to hear what it wants to hear, right? This is one of the ways we get in a place where we're not receiving what the Lord has to say, where our ears are no longer ears that can hear, where there's some kind of blockage getting in here. And if you want to think about it this way, basically we're getting in a place where we're allowing our desire to affect the truth we're willing to receive, instead of receiving the truth and allowing it to affect our desire. We're turning it around, and when you turn it around, you're going to get it clogged up. You're going to stop being able to hear. You have to maintain this place in your life where what you're looking for is not for what you want to do to be okay. You have to stay in a place where you want to make sure the truth is governing what you're allowing yourself to go after. Okay, I want to say that one more time, because there's three things God gave us this morning as ways that our ears get in condition where they don't hear what they need to hear. And this is the first one. Getting in a place where we're looking for truth to okay what we're doing, instead of desiring the truth to show me what needs to change about what I'm going after in life. Okay, that's one of the first ways people get in a place where their ears no longer hear the way it's necessary to receive the word of God and to have it be profitable in your life. And then it says about them, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. God's word delivered by His Spirit to your life, whether it be in a place like this or it's in your times with Him, however it may be, God's word delivered by His Spirit to your life is the only truth. It's the only thing that's going to save you and deliver you and keep you and help you to be able to stand in the day where you stand before Him in judgment. All right? Everything else is a fable. And I'm not just talking about let us go do out and out sin. Things that pull away from allowing truth to have its preeminent place in our life are fables. And they will tell you that everything, what is a fable? It's a story that's really not true, right? They will tell you everything's okay. It's all right. Just, this is fine. The truth will be revealed. Was it truth that you were truly seeking after? Or was this a fable? All right. So that's one of the ways. Another way, in Isaiah 29, it's a verse that maybe we've probably heard before, maybe even recently. And here, I want you to think about, out here we were trying to maybe affect, well, we'll just let the Lord deal with that. But what we've got here is where there's kind of a disconnect. We're allowing things maybe to come in here, but somewhere in the middle there's a stop. There's a stop. It says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Okay, so what I'm seeing here is a picture of it's getting a little deeper. All right? But we're going to stop it right about here. Like we talked about maybe last week or the week before about the mind level. We're going to stop right there. And in this level, we're going to handle what the Word's saying to us. We're going to take it in. We're going to promote it. We're going to do all these things. But we're not going to let it actually control who I am in my heart, in that my actions in life. You know, you can take the Word in. You can acknowledge it as true. You can determine that you're going to promote it in your life. But if you don't let it go on down to your heart, if it's up here where it's just something you're promoting out there and you're teaching out there and you're doing all these things, but you're not letting it turn and come to your heart, without it in reach, you have no outreach. All right? Then you've got ears that can't hear. To have ears to hear, we're going to have to say, what's coming into my mind right now? It's pretty much 100% about me. And if I take it here and I just push it back out, it's not going to do what it needs to do. But if I take it here and I let it come down to my heart, and I say, Lord, what are you trying to do here? You know what's going to happen when it comes back out of me? It's going to do what the Lord sent it to do. So His Word does not go forth void. It will accomplish that thing that He sent it out to do. It certainly does. If we want to be a part of that, then we've got to keep the conduit open, because it can't do what it was sent to do until it comes to our heart. Until we see it as saying, Lord, today I was in service and there were things said, and it seemed like maybe it was about everybody else but me. God, have mercy on me. There's something here that you're trying to say to me. If I am a complete failure up here, and we called all the wrong songs, do you know that God still can get something to your heart? If you're willing to say, Lord, what did you have for me today? The Lord's not governed. He's still in control. He's not governed by our failures or our insufficiencies or anything of that. You're here today in His presence. The Lord can do whatsoever necessary. If that's what your heart is, if that's what your motivation is. You know, Mom, not to promote at all, but if it'd be a lot easier in some situations, maybe not to be here, but she wants to be here. She wants to hear things. And so, thank the Lord for those who provided something she can look at and she can see what's being said. But she also had the motivation to do it that way. To say, you know what? I'm glad to have this opportunity. I'm going to be here. We all did. Who couldn't have slept a little longer this morning? I know there's people here that could have slept longer. I know there's people here that you're not in the most comfortable clothes that you wear all week. I could go on. You've all had things to come here this morning. Don't stop short. Let it go all the way. Promote that in your life. Pursue the Lord wholly in those things. Go after Him. And know there's nothing that means more to me, to my heart, than to let the Lord have His way and to speak to my heart and to get down deep in my life. It's worth it. It's worth every time I'm prying my eyes open, every time I'm putting on those stuffy clothes to wear to church. I know, I won't. Drew, are you in your favorite clothes this morning? Okay, just get that out of the way. It's worth it. Okay? Keep doing it. Don't stop short. Let your ears be ears to hear. Make it the object of what matters most in your life, that it's worth all these things. To do whatever necessary to be in His presence. And I'm kind of talking about, because we're here in church, but y'all know this is not, it's every day of our lives to take those steps necessary, to do what's, to allow the Lord to have a free conduit right down to our hearts in every way. A broken connection. Let's not have a broken connection within our system. Let's let the Lord get all the way to our hearts. Zechariah 7. I always kind of misjudge how long some of these little prophet books are. Sorry, y'all, I'm still spinning over towards it. There we go. All right, Zechariah 7.
And the eighth verse says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and shew mercy and compassions every man to his brother. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." But they refused to hearken, or listen attentively, is what that word, the Hebrew word there would mean, and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. They refused to listen attentively and pulled away the shoulder and stopped the ears that they should not hear. You know, we can get to where we're down here in the heart, but we're trying to kind of govern what's allowed to get there, that itching ear. We can have the broken connection where we're just in our minds. Or we can just say, you know what, I'm going to be there and I have ears, but that's it. I'm not even going to take it into my mind. I'm going to put my mind on other things. You know, there, all of these are ways that we can't hear, that we can avoid having ears to hear. Lord, help us not to have that kind of heart. Who knows? Why does that even happen in a person? What did the Lord say up here? Execute true judgment, show mercy and compassions, oppress not the widow, stranger, poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. What happened that I wanted to hold on to this imagination of evil against my brother in my heart? What happened that I wanted to oppress the widow and the fatherless and the stranger and the poor? What happened that I didn't want true judgment? You know, that's probably the most common. Some of those, you know, they're kind of out there, but things happen in life and people get in those positions where then they just put the wall up. But what about true judgment? What happened where I no longer, where I really wanted to be messed up and not have anybody try to help me correct it? Do we really see it that way? We don't see it that way. We're like, I'm tired of people telling me what to do. I'm tired of being told what to do. I'm tired of being corrected. What happened that I forgot? You know, people are who people are. And like I said, this last person maybe who came, I'm just saying theoretically, the last person came along and corrected me, maybe there's just things and I was like, I don't want to hear it from them. Follow me on this. Who gave them a mouth to speak? Who gave them the air to speak? Who gave them, allowed them the opportunity there? Do you know the Lord could have stopped that? So get over who's saying it a little bit. Get over all the extraneous things and realize words were just put out there in space before you. Now, regardless of how right that person was, you're responsible for them, to assess them, to consider them, to say, are they right or wrong? Is that really who I am in my life? That doesn't promote or whatever them. The devil wants us so focused on where it came from. The words are out there and I'm responsible for them. At what point did I stop seeing that? And I started making it about who, where they were coming from or who was saying them physically and forgot that, you know, God, you've allowed these words to be spoken in my presence. It doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't mean they're wrong. It does mean I'm responsible for being willing to consider them, whether they are right or wrong, and whether they're touching on something in my life that needs to be touched on. You know, some of my places where God's shown me things have been from somebody I'm quite confident, well, no, I shouldn't even say it that way, but if they continued the path they're on, I don't see how they're where they need to be in life. I don't know. I have to leave that with the Lord. But what they did and maybe the words they said, those I can consider. Those I can take to heart and say, Lord, were you trying to say something to me? What were you trying to say? Were they right or wrong? So my main point of that is not to promote us trying to make sure we hear everything everybody says, but to have a heart that doesn't
clam our ears up, stop our ears up. Let them be open. God can help you receive whatever's come. Don't have a heart against. Be not like a mule, which must be led about by bit and bridle. Be able to hear. Lord, is this right or not? Lord, help me to know. Help me to take to heart whatever was correct and what was just said. Because I don't want to miss something that you said. That's how much I believe in you. That's how much I believe in your ability to control all things in this universe and everything that concerneth me, like you said in your word. So, Lord, show me what to do with these words now. I don't want to miss what you might be trying to do in my life. And I'm at peace and confident in you that you can help me to know what to do here. All right? So it says, yeah, they made their hearts as adamant as a stone. And it goes on down here in the 13th verse. It says, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what? You have that kind of heart to listen. The Lord will help you sort it out. You don't have to become overworked, because what you're doing is just putting it all there and saying, Lord, show me. You can wait before him. You don't have to figure it out. You can trust him to lead you in the right way. All right. Matthew, it goes on to say here, I'm sorry, I wanted to read one more verse. In the 14th verse, it says, but I scattered them with the whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land desolate. You know, sometimes when we start having itching ears, or we start getting that broken connection, or we start walling up our ears not to hear, all right, we kind of get this mindset that all things just continue as they are. Right? Because they kind of do in a way, it seems like. But there's results for my choice of whether to hear or not. All right, the results here was the pleasant land was laid desolate. Let's look over in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Matthew 23:37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which were sent to thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as hens gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Y'all, the Lord help us, but what we're trying to get a confidence in us here is the ability for the Lord to sort it out. Sometimes we shut our ears to things because we feel like we're the ones that have to figure out whether to listen or not. The Lord can sort it out for us. If we have a mind to seek and to know and to understand, He can. These people here begin not to listen. And that's where they ended up in this place. The Lord tried again and again to correct it. He tried to sort it out for them. It wasn't because they made a wrong decision that they were lost and everything went desolate. It's because they stopped listening. Do you see that here? Can we say, well, you stoned the prophets, so now your land is left desolate? No, it was left desolate because in all your mistakes, when the Lord, remember the Old Testament, the Lord came and came and came, and they made mistake and mistake and mistake and sin and sin and sin, and the Lord still came, and He tried to get them to listen to Him. Say, look, just stop. Even now, just stop and listen to me. Go do. That's what we read in Zechariah. If you followed on around Isaiah there, you'll see it all through Isaiah. You'll see it through the prophets, where the Lord's not saying, you stoned a prophet, now your land is desolate. He said, you stoned a prophet. You need to listen. You need to repent. You need to come back. You need to allow me. But they stopped listening. There was nothing God could do. He couldn't get down to the heart. In some way, they had the ear stopped, the connection broken, or they were wanting to govern truth by their own desires. Okay? And it led them to this place where he says in the 38th verse, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Romans 14. Romans 14 and the 10th verse. We're going to pick up out in the middle of the 10th verse. It says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to the Lord. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It is going, when I don't think you have any input in my life, it might be a little hard to listen. But when I know that you're the one that I'm ultimately for eternity accountable to, Lord, help me to be careful in all these ways that my ears stay open and the conduit is open and I'm not trying to govern truth by my desire. Revelations 20. Revelations 20 and the 11th verse said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord, help us. There is nothing in the world worth allowing the Lord's truth to not reach to the deepest part of my heart. There's nothing in the world worth stopping up my ears over. There's nothing in the world worth trying to just make it a mind thing. All right? There's nothing in the world worth letting my desires, things I want in life, however little, however innocent, or however great they are, govern the truth I'm willing to receive. You pray for me.